Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Church. Because to really understand the concept of church, you got to understand where it comes from in Scripture, because it wasn't developed, this word was not developed around the concept of the body of Christ. It was already a word that the Greeks used, and it was called ekklesia. Can you say ekklesia? And this word meant to call out. The concept comes from like a herald going through the town. You remember, they don't have social media. They don't have, Instagram. They don't have telephones. They don't have cell phones. So how are they going to get in contact with one another? They're going to go through the town, and they're going to call out. They're going to have a herald call out, a messenger call out that there's a meeting or there's a cause. There's a purpose for coming together to meet for a reason, a vision, a purpose, or a cause. And so that concept, the called out or the assembly or the congregation, because when people come out and gather together, they're communing together for a purpose and for a cause. So whenever you understand that that's where it originates from, and now isn't it interesting that that concept, ekklesia, defines us more today than anything else? And so the term congregation or the church, ekklesia, is called out ones, that they come together, they congregate together for a purpose or for a cause. And so as we dig into that tonight, I want you to keep that in mind, that we come together, we learn, we encourage, and we work together for the cause of His kingdom. That is the purpose. That is the reason we come together, is to learn about His kingdom and to promote His kingdom, to evangelize His kingdom. So everything is kingdom oriented. It's all about Christ's kingdom. And so when we come together, that is the push. That's the purpose. And so we want to dig into this tonight and go through what the church is, what the church does. What are we called to do? What happens if there's problems in the church? How do you handle that? So there's different things concerning the church. We'd like to think that we all come together and it's just happy ever after that, right? and nobody has any personality. Everybody's just the same in their one heart and one mind, just as the Bible says, and there's never any issues. But we know, just as in a regular family, and I'm sure that even in your own families, there's been times where there's been a little bit of turmoil or dissension or whatever, and you have to fix that. You don't just leave and say, peace out, I'm out of here, and I'm not coming back. You fix the problem, and you move on as a family. It's the same thing with the church family, the family of God. So we'll get into that. But let's turn over, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what? Do you care to stick a piece of paper there or something? I want to hit Matthew first. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 46. And this is referring to Jesus. And it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered, and he said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so Jesus, you know, it's interesting because he introduces this concept of family. And of course, until Jesus comes on the scene, you have to remember that God wasn't referred to as God the Father. So he's introducing something that's new to them. This idea of it's not just God Elohim, but God the Father. And we are sons and daughters of God, of the Most High God. And he says that, who are my brother and sister and mother? Is it not you who do the will of the Father? And so Jesus even introduces this concept as people come into the family of God, that they are actually family. It's not individuals coming in just doing their own thing, but we become family. Well, what bonds us together? It's the unity of the Holy Spirit. Because as each person gets saved, what do they receive? The Holy Spirit. And so there's a bond. Have you ever, in fact, Giselle and Gracia and I went the other day, and we went into a little shop. And as soon as we entered, there was a lady. She was like, good morning. How are you guys this morning? She was so cheerful and happy. And I knew immediately that she was a Christian. And it was just like, I knew that joy that she had came from Christ in her. And how you can pick up that someone is saved because of what? The Holy Spirit that's in them. And so even though I don't know her, but I think Giselle does, they swapped numbers and they're getting to know each other. But the thing is, even though I don't know her personally, I know she's a sister in Christ. And so we have family all around the world that are brothers and sisters. And even Paul talks about Timothy, a son in the faith. And how he got saved under Paul, and Paul, same thing with Titus, a son in the faith. And so we see this concept of family. So how do we need to view one another? As family, right? So when we see one another, we should see each other as an actual family member. So that's why it's so important that we protect one another. That we love one another, that we treat one another as family, not just as someone that can just be disregarded anytime we're not pleased about something, but they are family, and so we treat them as such. And so the apostles also referred to Christians as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that unity or that bond is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That brings us in unity together. It's a bond of love that surpasses anything that we can understand. And so that unity comes through the Holy Spirit. And the even in 1 Timothy, do you care to put that up, Pastor Brad? 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians after that. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. This just reiterates what I was saying about how to view one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll go ahead and read it from my Bible. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters, with all purity. And so understanding that we are to see one another as family, brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers in Christ. And even in this, you know, as men and women, singles, like treating one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that means you don't look at a sister with wrong eyes of lust. Right? You protect one another, and women don't dress in a way that is attracting that type of attention. That you protect your brother in Christ, that you protect your sister in Christ. So seeing each other through the eyes of family, not through the world sense, the way that the world would look at people, but that we come together and that we understand that we are family. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians, let's go ahead and flip over to 1 Corinthians. Paul uses 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Paul uses another analogy and begins to talk about how the church is also likened to the body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. And I know Pastor Brad went through this passage not too long ago, but I think because of the purpose of the seat of tonight and of this topic, that it's important for us to at least go through it briefly, because there's so much in here in understanding the unity of the body. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Say one body. Many members, one body. Keep that in mind. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So if the foot says, well, I'm not a hand, so therefore I'm not part of the body, because I wanted to be a hand and I'm not, so therefore I'm not part of the body. Would that be foolish of the foot to say that? You yourself would look at your own foot if your own foot decided that it didn't want to be part of the body and say, no, I need you. You're going to stay attached. And you'd be like, I'm not getting rid of you. I think you're pretty handy where you're at.
Amen.
But so many times, somebody else found a mic. But, you know, many times we look at ourselves and we go, well, you know, my position isn't valuable. How many times do people devalue their own position? So many times we can look at someone else and say, their position is so valuable. Their position has meaning. Their position has purpose. And not value your own position. And as a result, you completely miss the purpose and the impact and the influence that your position can bring to others. And you can minimize the influence and the impact that you have when you do not value your position. So often it's easy to overlook the things that God has gifted you with, because you have your eyes set on something else that looks better, or in your mind looks so much greater, and not realizing the value of your own position. And you know, sometimes I look at people and go, they have no idea how much impact they could be having if they would realize their own value. But if you don't realize your own value, you'll sit there and look at someone else and compare yourself and see someone else's position is so much more valuable. It's kind of like the idea, same concept with the hand. What if the hand decides that it doesn't want to be around the rest of the body? Oh, I'm not important. I'm just going to show up from time to time. And so then the body has to figure out how to function without the hand. So you know as well as I do, you can only do so much with one hand. And you can kind of get through it, but you're not going to get as much done. You won't be as effective. And then if the hand shows up, then it's like, yay! And then the hand's not there anymore. And then the hand shows up again, you know, later. Well, yay, they're back. What if your body part did that? Just decided to work only once a month. You'd be like, man, it's so much easier when that body part shows up, when that body part's there. But the hand is going, I'd rather be a foot. I'd rather be this. I'd rather be that. I'd rather be an eye. I'd rather be a nose. And yet the rest of the body is going, I so appreciate that hand. I so appreciate when that hand shows up and functions. Because now together, and you think about it, even a left hand and a right hand, they're not the same. They're the same but different, right? So together they work very well. But even a left hand, and what if I had another left hand? That gets awkward. And there's only certain things I can do. So even though they're different, they're still the same but different. They each have their own purpose. So we should value what God has given to us to do and not demean it, not set it aside and go, it has no purpose. All right, let's move on. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not one of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Who did? God did. So God sets each person in the place that he so desires. Now we understand that people can grow and their functions can become different. Paul's just using this as a model and that as an example. It doesn't mean like a toe is always going to be a toe and they can't ever function in any other way and they can't heighten, you know, their abilities in anything. It doesn't mean that at all. He's using this as an example or as a model. So as we grow in spiritual things, we can be utilized at greater measure. First Timothy talks about that, how vessels that are to be used for everyday use and vessels that are to be used for honorable uses. So as we purify and sanctify ourselves, as we set ourselves apart for the master's use, we can be utilized for other things. But it's understanding that we have to be in the presence of God and be obedient to what he's called us to do. Remain humble. Verse 18, so God has set the members of each one in the body just as he pleased. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Just like I said, sometimes weaker members of our own body, we don't give a whole lot of thought. You know, there's these intricate little bones inside your ear that help you keep your balance. And we don't think about those bones inside of our ears. I mean, how many of you thought about those today? Nobody, right? But did you walk around in full balance today for the most part? Weren't you thankful for that? Yes. So, but if those things were missing, you would notice it very quickly. And you would realize very quickly there's a problem. And so the what it's calling the weaker, and we're not meaning it in a way that means weak, it means the less noticeable. Or the things that don't stand out as much. But if they're missing, they would really stand out. So valuing each part, it's so important. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know those seats that are empty beside you tonight? If there were people in them, they have giftings that they don't realize. That are so valuable to the body of Christ. Each person has so much value, and it's so important. It says that we miss it when, or we suffer as a whole when something is missing. That's why we celebrate here at Kings. We celebrate every gift and every talent and every position and every team, every area is so valued. Because not only does it minister outward, but it gives people value and purpose in the kingdom of God. So value your position. Oh, dear. Oh, my. My Bible's falling apart. Goodness. In the right place. All right. Value your position that God has placed you in, but also value the position of others. And, you know, think of it this way. If you're used to being a foot and then somebody all of a sudden stuck you on the hand and then you got to figure that out, like, like have some grace. Don't be a foot that's always going, oh, you know, the hand should do this better. You know, I don't know why the hand acts like this. Well, have you ever been a hand? You understand what I'm saying? Like, be gracious and understand. I remember I was thinking earlier how stupid I was, you know, when I was, you know, 25 years ago. I remember being so critical and looking at maybe a pastor's sermon and being like, well, they should have said this or they should have said that or da-da-da-da-da, you know, or the pastor's always going, raise your hands this evening or raise your hands. I'm not going to raise my hands just because they said it. Like, so arrogant. And I'm so thankful I'm not like that now, but I was like that. Can you believe I was like that? Pastor Brad's probably going, yeah. But I remember being in a place where it was like I was so independent in my thinking and not willing to submit for the unity of the body or for the purpose of understanding why the pastor was asking what he was asking. You know, I didn't have to understand everything from his position. I should have been able to understand that he loved the body of Christ and what he's asking us to do was for the greater purpose, not for me to fulfill my own purpose and my own mission, which was independence and my own thinking. And so I was being very selfish, very critical. And so, you know, we've got to be careful that we're not, when we look at the body, there are many parts. And that we are honoring that and that we are understanding the ecclesia were called out for what? For one purpose. Keeping that purpose as the main objective, which is the kingdom of God. Not my purpose, not my own agenda, but the purpose of God. Does it mean that we all have to have the same opinions? No. But if we start allowing our opinions to get in the way of the purpose, then what, I mean, the enemy would love nothing more, right? It's so easy to tear a church apart if we value our opinions and our own ideas higher than the purpose of God. And so understanding if we keep God's purpose the main thing, then we'll be doing ourselves a favor and we'll be able to build greater momentum together. Amen? All right, can you turn to Ephesians? What is the purpose of the church? Or maybe for a better, a little bit more detail, what is the purpose of coming to church? Of being part of a church? How many people have heard, well, I am the church, right? I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody heard that? In some words, you know, maybe give or take a few words and rearrange the sentence a little bit. But in so many words, that's what they're saying. That I'm the temple, therefore, why do I need the whole body? And, of course, obviously we went through part of that, but then also understanding that there's more to it than that. Because we don't go to church. It's not like coming to church makes you a believer. Well, I don't have to go to church to be a believer. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. You don't have to go to church to be a believer. But are you looking at it in the right way? Let me challenge the perspective here for a moment. We go to church because we are believers. Coming to church doesn't make us a believer. We come to church because we are believers. That means something happens in the corporate setting that benefits us as a believer as well as others. So just like you don't go, if you go to a restaurant, you don't go and then the restaurant makes you hungry, right? Well, I'm going to go to the restaurant and get hungry. You go to the restaurant because you're hungry, right? It's the same concept. We come to church because we are believers, because we are Christians, because we are finding our place in the body, because we desire to minister to the Lord, because we desire to minister to one another. And so that is the reason why we come to church. If we only go to church out of obligation, then we're missing the whole point and we become religious. But if we understand the true reason that we come to church, first of all, it's to honor God. That's first and foremost, that we honor him on the Sabbath. But beyond that, it's also to honor our brothers and sisters. It's to minister to them. So let's go through this a little bit, because I think sometimes people, I was having a conversation with someone just a few days ago. I said, when people are looking for a church to go to, first of all, they should look for a church doctrinally that is correct. You don't ever want to put yourself in a church that's not doctrinally correct or is diluting the word of God. That's first and foremost. But then from that point, what church fulfills the vision that I am also seeking to be a part of? So what's that church's vision? Do I see myself as becoming part of that vision and pushing that vision forward? Some churches, sadly, they don't even have a vision. They're just maintaining. We know this house has a vision. Doctor always is pushing vision. And in fact, we learned a lot about vision from Doctor. So Kings always has vision in front of them. And of course, it's always expansion. It's always expanding the kingdom of God. But those are the two main things that you should, whenever someone is looking for, but think about it for a second. What do most people base their church seeking on? Well, I like their praise and worship. They have a good kids ministry. Or it's really close to my house. I only have to drive 5 minutes and I'm there. There are some people that will stay in a church that is doctrinally wrong or diluted because it's close to their home. So understanding that we value our spiritual walk, our spiritual growth. I remember growing up, my mom and dad made the decision, we're driving 40 minutes away to go to a Holy Spirit-filled church because there wasn't one in our community at the time. And that was a big step for my parents, because when my parents got saved and started going to church, they didn't go to a Holy Spirit-filled church. They were growing in it. They were learning things. And then they got to the point where they were hungry. They wanted more. And so they were like, we want to go into a Holy Spirit-filled church. And so we started driving 40 minutes down the road to go to a Holy Spirit-filled church. And we did that for a couple of years until there was one in our community. But it was the value they began to put on the spiritual growth that they were desiring. And so understanding what happens at church. Are you in Ephesians? Ephesians 4. I know Pastor Brad just went through this not too long ago. He's been going through Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 11. It says, and he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Again, talking about the body and how every part needs to do its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, talk to me for a minute. What do we see here in the purpose of coming together? Look through that passage that we just read. Begin to tell me some things that is important that you see there in the purpose of coming together in the body of Christ. What is the purpose? What is the reason for this happening? The joining together of the body. Equipping the saints for what? Sorry, I didn't hear you. For the work of the ministry. Is that inward focused or outward focused? Outward. How many times do we go look for a church and go, how does it minister to? Instead of, can I grow here to minister to others? Can I be equipped here for ministry? Isn't that interesting? Outward focused. Anything else? What else do we see? What was you mouthing to me? I mean, I can't read lips. Edification. To strengthen. To strengthen. So how many of you in here have been strengthened by somebody in the body of Christ before? Yeah. Somebody calls and encourages. Somebody says, hey, let me pray with you, or maybe going through a difficult time and they were there and in the church in some way, whether it was a person or the church as a whole was helping and strengthened you during that time. What else? What else do you see in there? The unity of the faith. So again, we're talking about vision. Unity of the faith. What are we moving towards? We're unified, moving towards something. Moving towards a purpose, which ultimately is the kingdom of God. But every church could have, you know, its focus that it works on, or that it, you know, one church can't do everything for everybody. So there might be areas. There's a church in Parkersburg. They minister a lot to the homeless. That is their main focus. Their church is mainly made up of homeless people that have come and gotten transformed, and they're pulling in more homeless. Like, that's their focus. They're downtown, and that's been their focus. But it's going to be very difficult for them to maybe minister in another facet and be able to do that too. But there might be another church that's ministering in that area. Or maybe someone takes it upon themselves. I feel a call. I mean, we've gone into facilities. So one of the areas that we're focusing on is being able to minister to those in facilities that can't get out and make it to a church. But for the equipping of ministry, as people grow in ministry, guess what? More ministry happens. And it's based upon the equipping. As people get equipped, then what? People can be sent to do various things in the community. So then it's not just facilities, but it's this over here. It's schools. Or it's not just schools. It's also hospitals or prisons or police stations, fire departments, ministering to, I mean, the vision can be so big. But it's dependent upon what? The equipping of the saints and the consistency. The consistency. Because remember, what I said earlier, if the hand only shows up 25% of the time, it's going to be hard for ministry to be on that hand, correct? If it's in and out, in and out, in and out. We never know when it's going to be there. There's no consistency. So a ministry can't be held by a 25% of the time person. And so as that consistency is there and the equipping of ministry happens, then guess what? Something can be released. And then a ministry can be held on that thing. And then the body of Christ continues to grow. The church begins to have greater impact in its community. And then the community begins to feel the impact of God because there's so many people that it's being woven in and out of the society of that community. Isn't that an amazing thing? In workplaces, where you work, that's an automatic mission field. You're already there. You're ministering to those that you're around every single day. Is there anything else in that scripture that you see? You said equipped for ministry, unified in faith or in vision. Did you have something, Pastor Rod? What was the first word? Attaining the full measure or the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we're growing in our learning of who Christ is. As we grow in our knowledge of God and of who Christ is, we understand our own identity. We understand who he is. We understand the fullness of his power. We understand the working and the demonstration of what he can do through our lives. It's the operation of Christ in us and through us. So we see when it comes to the body of Christ.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll see that, you know, Paul's saying that you wouldn't be tossed to and fro.
Right.
And that's so significant because, you know, what happens in any culture, it's easy to sometimes to come in, but, you know, when something rubs or something hits hard or something challenges you, it can cause whatever for people to be unstable. And, you know, the Bible says, and Paul, you know, even in the writings, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so, but, you know, and that's the key, that we're not tossed to and fro, not persuaded by every wind of doctrine. And you know, searching, you know, I'm just searching. I minister to people outside of this church, and that's one of the things I hear. I'm just searching for a greater revelation or a greater understanding. And I'm like, but your gift is being missed because you're not a part of the body. You're searching for what? What are you searching for? Come and be a part of the body. Come and build the kingdom. Well, I'm just searching. People will spend their whole life searching for meaning, searching for purpose, and God has a purpose right there in the body of Christ for them, right there. So, you know, not being tossed to and fro. I mean, that's it's really profound when, you know, and I will be honest, you know, even when I got saved, it was, you know, it's easy to be persuaded by people's thoughts and opinions about the church if you're half in and half out. I don't know if anybody's following with me, but when you're half in, half out, like it's, well, I'm for the church, but I could be here or not be here. You know, when you're like that, it will cause you to be unstable. You'll listen to people say things about the church, or now I don't really talk, you know, and I don't go around announcing my title or who I am or anything, but I don't tolerate very well when people want to slam or come against the church. I love the church, amen. We as Christians need to love the church. And there's nobody in here that hasn't dealt with that. Well, you know, the church, they're mad at God. They don't even know why they're mad at God. They're mad at a God that they don't even know. Honestly, it's the enemy that they should. They're focused. That's where they need to put their energy, is towards the enemy. God's not up there deciding who's going to die today. That's not what he does. He doesn't operate that way. But, you know, not to be tossed to and fro, it's important. I know that's, out of that text, but I just wanted to add that real quick.
Mature in the faith, not being tossed to and fro by false doctrine or any wind of doctrine. There's a security in being able to have a house that teaches the Word of God and someone you can go to and say, hey, is this right? Is this, you know, I even said something to someone not too long ago. I said, you know, there's certain people that I listen to, and I gave them those names, and I said, there's a reason why I'm sharing those names with you, because just to listen to anybody online, you'll get so confused. You'll hear people talk, and you'll say, oh, that sounds so good. You're getting a one-minute clip of a sermon that you have no idea what the context was. And you don't even know what they're talking about. You don't know their fruit. You don't know anything about their ministry. They probably don't even have a ministry outside of social media a lot of times. They're in their living room. They're preaching to the people in the congregation. Well, what fruit is that? Are they doing ministry somewhere? Are they submitting to a house? Or is that a person that has decided, I don't want to be part of a house. I want to do my own thing. And so I'm going to set up my recorder in my living room because I don't want to answer to anybody. And everything they say on the screen might sound great, but you don't know their fruit. You don't know anything about them. So that's why it's best to stick with those that you know their fruit, you know what their vein of faith is, and you don't have to question it, and it will strengthen you. Rather than hearing this, and then that makes you question, and then you go over here and hear this, well, I don't know, and then you're just back and forth. And you're not getting strengthened. It actually causes you to weaken. It actually weakens because you begin to question your faith. You begin to question not necessarily your faith in Christ, but question, well, is this true? Well, you know, does God make these things happen to us? Well, you know, did God do this? Or, you know, can this happen? Does he make us go through hard times on purpose? Or did he send this to, you know, all kinds of things can come across, and it sounds very good and it sounds religious. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's 100% correct. So a house that teaches strong doctrine will be a safeguard to your life. All right, moving on. Yeah. Let's go quickly through. I want to hit just briefly on what happens if there's dissension. What happens if there's conflict with the family of God? Turn to Matthew 5. And then I want to be able to take questions. So if you have questions, write them down. Get them ready. Matthew 5, 23 to 25.
Before you hit on that, can I just something I want to cover before you hit on that? Because I know we're... I know we're just trying to be, because, you know, we really want to do Q&A, but, you know, out of the notes, one of the things, what the Bible says about attending church, and, you know, one of the things you guys have even heard in here, that in the latter times, you know, one of the things the scripture says that the church should be meeting less often or more often. It's important. It's important that there's the coming together of believers. And I truly believe that is the great outpouring that we're getting ready to see. That people are going to be drawing to the body of Christ. They're going to be, you know, like I say it all the time, people have questions. But, you know, why do we attend? Why do we attend church? Well, it's because we come and we get, I get encouraged. I don't know, even tonight, just listening to the preaching of the word, when people preach, and I get an opportunity to even hear people preach out of this house and listen to the podcast, I get encouraged. I get encouraged by the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. That's the strengthening. And it's not just one person that's doing the sharpening. It's the body. It's the body of Christ. I mean, there's so many people in here. I love it that you're an encouragement to the people around you. In your workplace, you know, even in this house, you're an encouragement to each other. So I just wanted to touch on that real quick because I know there's more that we could go into. Anything you want to add to that? Hebrews 10:24-25. You went through that already?
Not okay. The scripture, but kind of saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do the next one then. Go ahead. I'll bring it up.
Okay. Matthew 5. What did I say? 25? 24? 23. 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So you see here, it says in verse 23 that if you there remember that your brother has something against you. So that means what? You've offended your brother somehow, right? So you yourself have caused an offense with them. Okay, then who is supposed to go? You. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now flip over to chapter 18. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let them be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So if your brother sins against you, who's to go? You. So who's it on every time? You. if there's a problem, either way, if you've been the one that caused offense or if they've been the one that caused offense, then you are the one to go to them. It doesn't matter. And of course, if they're Christian, they're getting the same message too. But don't play the blame game of, well, you know, they should come to me. It doesn't matter. Go and rectify the problem. Do not give the enemy a foothold. Because the longer something goes on, the more assumptions that are made, the more things that are able to get in there and cause more of a problem, the more your brain dwells on things, the bigger it becomes in your head, and the harder your heart will get, and the more bitterness and the seed of bitterness that will arise in your heart. So make sure that you're quick, be quick to go and see your brother or sister in Christ and talk about whatever needs to be discussed. And of course, it goes on to say that if you have to go to them once and it's still not rectified, you go back again, taking someone with you. And then still, if it's still not rectified, then it gets made public. At that point, it's dealing more with a hard heart. Someone refuses to allow the Lord to rectify the relationship. Now, I'm not saying that every relationship has to go back to the normalcy of whatever that relationship was. We understand that there are times that new boundaries need to be set. We get that. But there are also times when you need to go back, and then you find that a lot of misunderstandings happened. And then you realize real quick, okay, there was a lot of things that I thought in my head that weren't true. Your motive was not that at all. And so there's things that can be very beneficial in going and talking to someone, because you realize that you may have misjudged their heart. They have misjudged your heart entirely. And so going and talking to them and exposing, just like Pastor Brad said the other week, exposing what the enemy is trying to get a hook in. When you bring light to it, then you're exposing what the enemy's trying to do. But going once and going twice. Now, the Bible does talk in, I believe, the book of Titus. Yeah, the book of Titus. Paul tells Titus, he's warning Titus about a specific division in the church there. And a guy that's not paying attention to the warnings. He says, warn him once, warn him twice. If he doesn't heed to the warnings because he's causing dissension and division with, just arguments on doctrine and genealogy and things that is weakening the church and causing it to be a church split rather than unifying the church. Warn them once, warn them twice, then avoid them. And of course, that's because if you allow someone to be in the church, but they're causing dissension and they're causing strife, then what's going to happen? Division. It's eventually going to, so it's going to be like a cancer that spreads through the church. How important does God see unification in the church? Very important. Very important. God speaks a lot of unity, but he never promotes division. Never promotes division. Even if the person is right, if they're causing division, God never promotes division. There's been many, many times that Doctor has talked about people that have caused division in churches, split, done their own church thing, and created their own church, and it was never honored, and eventually that church crashed. Because God never honors division. But that's also why Doctor has what he calls the ministry of platform, and he does not go into another person's territory that he's a friend of and plant a church in their community. That's why we did not plant a church in our home community, because we respected our pastor that we grew up under, and so we were not going to plant in Ritchie County. Because we knew a lot of people there, and it would have very easily, anybody that could have been disgruntled or just thought, oh, you know, I want to do the new thing, could have come and decided they're going to be part of this church just because it's a honeymoon thing, or just because they want to try something new, or just because they were disgruntled, and split a church over here. So we knew that we would never plant in Ritchie County because we honored that very thing that Dr. taught us so many times, the ministry of platform. And you honor those that have imparted to you, or those that have had an impact on your life, those that you might be friends with that are also doing ministry. So it's for the purpose of the unification of the body of Christ, not for your own agenda. Did you have something?
You know, just even in closing that up, but, you know, Dr. Paul Goulet, Pastor Paul, who was here in December of last year, many of you guys remember him, Doctor was asked to plant a church in Las Vegas for 20 years, 20 plus years. Would you please plant a church? There were people from Kings that had moved to Las Vegas, and Doctor wouldn't do it. He said, because my friend, Paul Goulet has a church there, and he said I can't violate the friendship that I have with him or the ministry, the platform of ministry. Because I don't want to undermine anything he's doing. You know, if Pastor Moran and I, for whatever reason, I won't even use us as an example, because, I mean, we're kings, we're not going anywhere. But Doctor has shared testimonies with us. So there was at one point, and I think this is a good place to share it, but there was one point that a King's pastor in another state on the West Coast side, California, just to be specific, I guess, but he had been a part of starting the church, and the church kind of was going pretty good. Well, he up within a month makes a decision that he's no longer going to be Kings, and goes down the road 7 miles and starts another church. We don't do that. We don't do that. That's, you know, Doctor, he's given us the platform of ministry. We're an arm of Dr. Morocco, and so. So that pastor really violated, you know, that platform that was given to him. So our senior pastor is very, very keen on that. And he said, you know, it's unfortunate, because what happens when people do that and they're divisive, things will come down on them very, very hard. And unfortunately, that did happen to that guy. It was within months that he took all the people out of the King's Church, went to another church, and lost everything within 6 months. But you know what happened? The sheep were divided. Guess what he has to answer for? He has
many
to
of those people may never go back to church because never, they were hurt.
Yeah, they may never. So that.
So the yeah. Heart wasn't the people. The heart was self.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's very serious. The church, the care for the church is something, you know, you guys are a part of. If you're a life group leader, you're in ministry, you're serving on a ministry team or over a ministry. you care for that like, you know, you care for it as we would, you know. We're an arm of doctor. You're an arm of this extension in anything you do. So anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and that's why ministry teams and life groups are so important in Kings, because it brings things to a smaller level of being able to communicate those things. Because many times things that are preached from the pulpit, yeah, you could take it this way or that way. Well, where do you think those things get explained many times? In a life group or a ministry team setting. And so you can go to your leader and say, hey, I have a question about something. You know, this happened the other day or this was said. Can you explain this to me? Because that life group leader or that ministry team leader should be able to know our heart well enough to know what it is that we meant by what was said or the doctrine by which we go by. Even, I mean, no one in here has ever misspoke anything, right? Like, your communication skills have always been, like, on point.
Yeah, mine have.
I don't know how many times I've walked out of the pulpit and been like, ugh, I didn't say that well. I could tell by their faces. They, like, I did not explain that well. You know, so I know that there are times that things could be miscommunicated or misconstrued, you know. And so that's a great time to go to your ministry team leader or life group leader and say, hey, can you explain something? You know, this kind of hit me and I was a little bit offended by it. You know, can you explain to me this or that? And they would be able to explain the heart of the matter. Again, builds a protection in around so that there's not a seed of bitterness, and it clears things up, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But let's wrap up there and take any questions or any comments or questions around this topic of the church or church family or even maybe issues of what you do in certain situations. And Pastor Brad, I'll run a mic to you. Anybody have a question?
Or something?
What's the best answer could we give someone who gives you when you talk about inviting them to church and they say, well, you don't really need to go to church to be a good person. I don't feel like I need church, you know, to be whatever.
What's the best answer that we can give people that, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? Am I understanding? To be a good person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else get that?
A lot of people do.
Anybody else get that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do I need church? I'm saved, right? I'm a Christian. Why do I need to go be with believers? Go ahead.
Well, part of that was the Ephesians of going through that, you know, understanding that it's not church that saves you, but we learn. This is where we grow. We can stay at home and be doing our own thing for a long time. We can even learn some things by listening, especially now with YouTube and everything that's available. Yeah, you can tap into all kinds of teaching and preaching. But there's more to it than that. The Bible tells us to evangelize. The Bible tells us to encourage one another. The Bible tells us to sharpen one another, to learn and grow in the faith. It tells us to not forsake the gathering together of the assembly of believers. And so if I take all those scriptures and I look at that, how am I going to be edified at home? How am I going to use my gifting at home to minister to anyone else? How am I going to be equipped for the ministry? How am I going to look at someone else? And if I understand that it's not just about me, it's about others, how effective can I be by just staying home and I never grow myself or equip myself to do ministry, coming together with a body of believers? I remember one time there was a lady that had, you know, she had kind of her own ministry, so to speak, of feeding the homeless, which is great. But because of that, that becomes her church, so to speak. And so she just kind of jumped around from this church to that church to this church to that church. Well, her husband passed away. And during that time, none of those churches reached out. We did. But she was upset because None of the other churches reached out. Now, obviously, it's not a point in time I'm going to say, well, the reason is because you don't belong to any of them and you don't stay consistent, so they all think that you're somewhere else. If you're not in that house, they don't consider you like part of the family. You left. And people can reach out and say, hey, how you doing? But if you never come back into the fold, you know what I'm saying? So you're not around a group of people that they feel like you want to be there as part of the family of God. And it gets tricky from a pastoral standpoint, because some people go, thank you so much for reaching out. It meant so much to me that you reached out to me. But then on the other hand, some people go, oh, why do they keep reaching out? Why do they keep calling me? And they get frustrated. And so it gets very, very sticky on knowing what to do sometimes, on how much you reach out, how often, you know, all of those things. How often do I call? And I know I got off topic a little bit, but it's more than just about me and what I want. Do I want to stand before the throne room of God and know that at the end of that time, is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because what did I do with what he gave me? Did I contribute back? Did I find myself in a house of God that I helped propel the vision and the evangelism and the message of Christ? Because that is everything about what God tells us to do as Christians.
Miranda, talking about that actually was, it was a tough situation. You know, the good people, Christians, did a lot for communities in Morgantown, in the Morgantown area. But, I mean, what happened, though? It's like there was a hardness in her heart getting ready to form, because where's the church? And we were there ministering and praying. It was something the Lord directed me to do, was when we had the church in Morgantown. They weren't far from that area. So I was stopping in to check on them and pray. And I think Zephan and I went there one point in time, and just we had a powerful time in the Lord. But what happened when he passed, it was like, where's the church? And, you know, Miranda was like, it broke our heart because she wasn't affiliated with anything. You know, we think globally, right? There is the global church, absolutely. But having that connection with a body of believers, that's strong, right? There's a bond that comes with that. Amen. I mean, people can look in this church and if you're in here any amount of time, you know people got your back. Right? I mean, I know. I've been in meetings with people, in meetings where somebody gets a little fired up. I can see the blood boiling in people. They got your back. People are going to cover your back. And that's what coming together is about. That ecclesia. But it's, and that's a great question. I'll give you this. One of the things that I'll try to do with somebody that maybe is new in faith that I invite, what I do is I'll go have coffee with them. I'll make it a one-on-one. I won't just not inviting them to church. I'll try to get just a moment of time where I can spend a little bit of time with them, so they can hear who I am.
And not just you, but hearing what happened. What happened? Because there's something there that's causing them to make that decision.
That relational thing, like what I talked about this morning, in the first service, being relational with people is so important. People need to know that you care, and I tell you, you can, God can change the heart of one person very quickly when they see something. Because everybody gets a taste in their mouth. Well, the church, go show somebody that you care. Yeah, just go show somebody that you care. I walked into a restaurant the other day, and just because I knew the guy, he spotted me, and we minister to this guy a lot. And I was going in to get food for Miranda and I, and he was sitting over there. He's wrapping silverware. He sees me, gets up, and he comes over and hugs me. And I look at the waitress, and I said, hey, can I leave a tip for him? I'm picking up food at takeout. She's like, what? And I said, I want to leave him like $40 or whatever. And she was like, I guess. I said, I don't want you to say anything to me. I just leave him money. She's like, really? I said, here's $10 for you too. But be a blessing. That's the kind of thing that people need to see. And I'm not saying it's about money, but find a way to make a connection with somebody. That 5-10 minutes, that 20 minutes, that 30 minute, that 20 minute going out and having coffee with someone, man, that can That can get somebody to the church. That can get, and you know what's missing though? And I there are so many pieces in the body that are missing. Man, you think, you know, that hand, that arm, you know, I was back there when Miranda said, you know, it'd be hard to do things with two left hands. I'm back there looking at my hands like this. I was like, you're right, it would be. I'm glad I have a right and left hand. I did that actually. So anyway, yeah, let's keep moving.
Any other questions?
Great question.
Questions? Yes.
I just wanted to respond to what she was saying. I've recently encountered that in the last year or two with a family member. You know, that, you know, wants to stay home, forsaking the assembling. And that question, you know, does arise. And, you know, I explained that you know, to be a part of the body, you know, if you and I gave an analogy of an animal in the woods. You know, you think about a deer or an animal. If it's alone, you know, it's going to get attacked, you know. And even just, I know that's a deeper explanation in terms of, like, just our spiritual walk, you know. And in that, explaining how when you're with a pack, you're not susceptible to an attack, is how I described it to this family member. You know, and, you know, we're to be a part of the body, you know, and how, you know, Christ loves them, and just explaining, you know, how much he loves them and he wants them to be a part of that body and not out there, you know, being the lone ranger by themselves, because, you know, that makes people more susceptible to attack. So I kind of gave, like, that comparison or that analogy, like a visual for the person. I'm visual, so sometimes I just, you know, I pray and I ask God to kind of give that gifting. So that's how I described it to that family member, and that did help them. Even coming to the revelation of why their child needed to be, you know, in church and under church, and why that was important, the implications spiritually for their child. So,
can I add one thing about children? Young people in here that you have kids, don't let it be an option for your kids whether or not they come to church. It's up, whatever they want to do on Sundays, it's up to them. No, it's not up to them. They eat your food. You pay their rent. You're taking care of them. Get them in the house of God where they can have the Word of God sown into them. I'm. Please understand, I'm very firm on that. My kids are like, yeah, Dad, I know. We've never missed church. The enemy's out to get your children. The enemy's out to get kids. He is, absolutely 100%. You know, I think it was Brother Don and I were in a meeting in Maui that if kids aren't reached by the age of 14, there's like a 7 or 8% chance that they'll even come to Christ ever. Something to that effect. Wasn't it statistically something like that? Guys, this is serious stuff. So it's whatever you want to do. You'll find God. No, you help your kids find God. You help people. You help point people in that right direction.
You train your children in the way they should go.
Amen.
Yeah, they're not adults. They're not going to think like adults. So don't expect them to make decisions. If you let your 3-year-old make decisions, they'd be out there eating dirt. So anyway, any other questions? Is that not true?
Any other questions?
I mean, Kavai was trying to feed Kupono a hair clip the other day. I mean, if you leave things up to them, they're gonna choose some weird things to do. Any other questions? The church. I love the church. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ. And I don't know a husband that if somebody came against his bride, they're going to be protective. God looks at the same way as his bride. If someone comes against the bride, he's going to protect his bride. And that's why you see in the word that revenge is mine, saith the Lord. You don't have to fight for revenge, because his protection is there for you as part of the bride and as the church. When you honor the church and you don't allow those seeds of disgruntledness against the church and against the bride, and you keep that peace in your heart with one another, you're honoring the church. You're honoring the bride. So above all else, because that's the number one way that people get out of church is because they get hurt somehow, and then they make that person the reason rather than keeping their eyes on Christ. And what you can't control what somebody else does or says, but you can control what you do. So make every effort you can to keep peace, as the Bible says, and you honor the bride and you honor the church. It is here to do a good thing. If there was no church around the whole world, imagine what that would be like. The church is here. Yeah, things happen sometimes. People get hurt sometimes. We understand. Not everybody's perfect, but the church is here to shine a light. So jump in, be part of the church, and don't set aside and go, let them do that. Let them do that. Become part. Become part of the church and move the gospel forward. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, we'll...
Just as the body, please, it's your church. You're a part of the church. It's as much as part of your church as it's not Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda's church. It's our church. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful. Let's pray for the body of Christ tonight. Let's pray for our church. Lord, that we would have a great impact here in Fairmont. Thank you, Father, for every person that's here. Lord, that we work together, like hand in glove, working for your purpose, working for kingdom purposes here on earth. I pray, Father, that every person is, their eyes are set upon you, not on what somebody gives them, but instead what you can give us and what you call us to do. Father, that we wouldn't come here just what we can seek for ourselves, but we come here to minister to you. We come here to minister to one another, and we come here with the attitude and the heart of what can I do for Jesus Christ and for his kingdom. I thank you for empowering us tonight with that mindset and with that wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.